Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by Black Lung Brewing.
I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party. All are invited.
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Thing First.
For Bears fans, you got like, this is Bill Murray and Groundhog Day. Like, I've seen this so many times. You get so hyped for a season, and it's like, oh, okay, 0-2 with a couple of division losses, got 50, hung on, and the quarterback doesn't look so good. Like, I've just seen this movie so many times.
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
That's a Caleb Williams custom, baby.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
You guys made it seem like a Chicago Bears fans. We had our guy, Danny Parkins, all these guys.
Danny Parkins.
R.I.P. Louis Anderson.
On 670 The Score.
Wait
gets me every time. We now go live to the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we find Danny Parkins. Is Danny on Twitch today? I can't see him yet because of the delay. Are you on Twitch with us, Danny?
Yeah,
okay.
I am.
Twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. We operate on a Twitch delay, so I can't just say it right away. There he is. We see you now, Danny Parkins.
I see you, Danny. I see you. I see you, and I see you, Danny.
Yeah,
If Robbie would tell you guys ahead of time that I was on Twitch, you wouldn't need to
Danny,
wait for the
come delay. On, man. Don't throw me under the bus like that.
Come on, Robbie. Get it together.
You're my dad, Danny.
Yeah, that's your adult child.
That's why I'm so disappointed.
Well,
yeah. Let you down, Pop.
We are happy to see Danny. Twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. I will say Robbie edited a very good open for you this week because that is the case. This is not a place where we have not been before at 0-2. And like you said, some flashes out of the quarterback. Let's start there. What did you see week to week out of Caleb Williams in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the analysis that he was better week two than week one was accurate. I also thought that, like, it made me feel a little bad for Caleb Williams, as crazy as that sounds, because I get it. And honestly, I am now more a part of the problem that I am about to speak out against, because in the national landscape, it is all so quarterback centered. But like, if there ever was a week where the analysis should not be about Caleb Williams, it probably should be in the week where the defense allowed over 50 points to the Lions. Like, the Lions have been playing football for a long time. And in terms of a yards per play basis, that was the best offensive game in the history of their franchise. So, I mean, there was no pressure. There were no sacks. There were a ton of penalties. The defensive line was bad. The linebackers were bad. The secondary was bad. The defense is injured. Jameson Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jared Goff, they could do whatever they wanted. And Caleb Williams doesn't play cornerback. So I'm not trying to, like, skirt your question, but it didn't feel like a particularly relevant data point for me on is Caleb the guy or not, because the defense was so atrocious. That doesn't escape him from film review or conversation. But like, if I made a list of top five biggest problems with the Bears in that game, he's not cracking the top three.
This is that classic look at us meme. How did we get here? Because you and I, my friend, are aligned on this point. The 8.1 yards per play, by the way, that's the most the Bears have ever given up in franchise history in a game. So their worst defensive performance by that metric, at least. Okay, so do you see a way the Bears can fix this defense? Because I can't. I wanted to find a way the Bears could win this game against the Cowboys. I can't. Unless Caleb goes hero ball, I can't see it.
well, they can win because the Cowboys defense is bad too. Like, games are won 38-28 all the time, right? Like, when Deron Bland got hurt for the Cowboys, all of a sudden Russell Wilson turned into, you know, prime Aaron Rodgers, and he was connecting on every one of his moon balls. Like, the Bears can win. So I had my guy pull these numbers for us here. Caleb last year against bottom 10 defenses in the NFL had a 10-3 touchdown to interception ratio, a passer rating of 99, and had over 250 yards, total yards per game. Cowboys are 27th right now in opponents' points per game this year. Quarterbacks against the Cowboys so far. Jalen Hurts completed 82.5% of his passes for 2 touchdowns and no picks, a passer rating of 94. Russell Wilson completed 73% of his passes for 473 yards and a passer rating of 123. Cowboys are 30th in the NFL in opponent passer rating this year. So you can't win this game 19-14, but you can absolutely win this game 31-28. So that's the only recipe for a win. And I think that if Caleb and the Bears offense and Ben Johnson do not look good on Sunday, that's when it's time for alarm bells to really start going.
I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. You said 10-3 touchdown to interception ratio against the bottom 10 defenses for Caleb last year.
That's right.
Well, he was 10-3 with the top 22. I mean, he had 20 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's 20-6.
So, either way, that number just rang very hollow to me. But I hear you. I hear you.
Fine. Passer rating of 99. The Bears scored 25 points per game. Those were both above their averages. Point was is that Caleb Williams, you know, listen, last year was an inconsistent year. You're correct. He finished with 20-6 touchdown to interception ratio. That is absolutely correct. But in terms of Caleb Williams last year was streaky. Would we agree on that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right? Like he had a very good game against Minnesota where he had 340 yards and 2 touchdowns and no picks, and they scored 27 and they lost in overtime. And then he didn't have a good game against Minnesota, right? He was a streaky, inconsistent player over the course of last year. And I thought that week one of this year felt a little bit too much like a continuation from last year. Week two this year was better. But again, I throw out the better. Like, I don't want to give him a bunch of flowers for how he played week two. I know a lot of people were doing that based on the film review, and that's fine. But they got boat raced. Like, that game just wasn't about the quarterback, good, bad, or indifferent.
No, and I feel you, Danny. I also love that you have the Fox Research Department at your fingertips, because those people do work. Like, that is one of the greatest parts about working at that level. So thank you for sharing the stats. I also want to ask you this, though, is I feel like the metric now for measurement has become the Packers are making people look so silly that now you're having to figure out what you can base based off of that. Because that was really, if you're looking at it, I think maybe from your standpoint, like national host, not necessarily Danny Parkins from Chicago, it's probably that the Lions looked that good because that was more like what you expect to see than what you saw out of them with the Packers, who were just making very good offenses look inept.
Yeah, I think that there's some truth to that. And like the Lions, you know, I tend to give teams that have been good for a while the benefit of the doubt. And the Lions have been really good now for a few years. Like, I remember when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and then the following year they opened with the Lions at Arrowhead and dropped their banner, and then the Lions got them. Like, and that was the opener 2 years ago. So the Lions have been really good for a while. So I thought week one in Green Bay, Micah Parsons making his debut, first game for a new defensive coordinator for Detroit, first game for a new offensive coordinator for Detroit, first game with, you know, the new pieces and rearrangement of their, guard center guard combination. Like, I just thought the Detroit ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw in week one, and the Bears were certainly a get right for them. But my guess is the Lions at the end of the year are going to be a double digit win team with a top 5 offense in the sport. So I do think that Detroit is going to be just fine. And to your point, Layla, like, so far Green Bay looks like the best team in football. As disgusting as that is, like, they're probably going to make a lot of people look bad. They Jaden Daniels played the worst game of his career against Green Bay last Thursday, a week ago today. So yeah, Green Bay looks like they've stepped up a notch, but I don't think that Detroit has stepped that much backwards just because of how they played week one.
Danny Parkins joining us here on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody, talking all things Bears right this second, because I do want to know, how concerned are you, because I'm very concerned that these draft picks that were supposed to be guys who make an impact, I don't know, second rounders, aren't playing. They're just healthy scratches. Are you concerned?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, it's obviously a terrible look. There's no sugarcoating it. It's a terrible look for Ryan Poles. And I think judging Luther Burden off of two games into his rookie year is probably very silly. The Colston Loveland one is the one that is the most inexplicable for Ben Johnson, because, you know, they draft him in the top 10. They draft him ahead of Tyler Warren. They say he's a better fit with Komet. Ben Johnson ran all that 12 personnel in Detroit with two tight ends on the field. Wasn't the first play of the first preseason game with the starters like a designed play to Loveland? I thought that Loveland was going to be a much bigger piece of the offense from Jump Street, and I still think he likely will be. But Loveland's the one that I expect to be involved. The other guys, you know, I know Burden was a little bit behind from training camp with the injury, and Zacchaeus is more of a veteran. So, you know, I'm not, again, sounding any panic bell alarms on that, but, you know, the lineman not playing is bad. The Torrey Taylor being drafted ahead of Bucky Irving is bad. You know, it's, obviously the draft picks so far. I mean, hell, at this point, Caleb Williams being drafted ahead of Jaden Daniels is really, really bad, if we're being totally honest here, yeah, in terms of they didn't do a full evaluation of Jaden relative to Caleb. So yeah, Ryan Poles, is his draft picks are aging very poorly at the moment.
Curious, Danny, have you gotten a chance to read the Seth Wickersham book?
No, I have not. I have not read the book. I read the Caleb excerpt, though. I read the Caleb chapter, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, what I mean, and that's, you know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I was just wondering out loud.
That's what I'm here for. What do you got?
Yeah, but what did you think?
I mean, listen, I think that Caleb is the product of a very specific moment in time. Like, he's been the best prospect at basically since he started playing quarterback, right? Seventh, eighth grade, all the way through. He's got a very smart, very accomplished dad who has his own money. And so they were able to move Caleb and follow coaches, not just Lincoln Riley, but, you know, Caleb living in an apartment for his prep school and the whole thing, right? So, like, then he's a multi-millionaire before he even enters the NFL. He had a foundation. He has a foundation. I still have never seen that, like, pre-Caleb, post-Caleb. Like, he came into the NFL with an established, up and running for multiple years charitable foundation. Like, he's a different type of cat, for better and worse. And so I think that they wanted to push the envelope in a lot of different ways, monetarily, team-wise, city-wise, coach-wise, and they were trying to see exactly how much power they could have. And so I thought it was well reported. I thought it was compelling. I didn't come away from it thinking like that the Bears like stepped in it, though, if that makes sense. They looked at the film and said that Caleb Williams was the best quarterback in that class. That's what they wanted to draft him. And I think that it ultimately, that's how you want your general manager to be operating. And we're going to see if they ended up getting it wrong, because the early returns are they got it very wrong. But I still think Caleb's ceiling is MVP of the league. Like, I haven't sold any Caleb Williams stock. So that's where I think the conversation gets a little muddied. Like, mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels has been much better than we thought, but I don't think that Caleb Williams is off track necessarily.
I look, Danny, at the way things have gone for the Bears, and I'm thankful that we have the Cubs that exist so that we can kind of like say, okay, let's
backwards,
take our eyes off of this for a moment and look at this instead. What do you think about the Cubs clinching in their pursuit now of a playoff run?
Well, I mean, I know that they're very happy. I was texting a few of my people over there, congratulations, like front office, council, Nico, people like that. You know, I know they're very happy. I know they're planning for more celebrations and hoping for more celebrations. And it was fun to see. They deserved it. I was obviously like personally happy for Council. You know, the reality of baseball, though, is that they could win the World Series or they could get swept in the first round. Like that is unfortunately now the reality of baseball. Like, can they get hot? So like I texted all of them. I was like, congrats on the celebration. Looked fun. Now go get hot. Because that's the truth of it. Like, and there's of course strategy that comes into play, and all of the decisions are magnified. And, you know, when are you going to start Cade Horton, and what's going on with Kyle Tucker, and you know, how early do you go to the bullpen, and where are you going to bat Nico in the lineup against lefties and righties, and like all of the things that you guys are debating in the nitty gritty every day. But then you're going to ultimately be doing the analysis of a really small sample size of maybe 12 at-bats for a guy, or one start for a pitcher, or one bullpen appearance for a reliever. And it's inherently unfair, but that's what they've signed up for. Like, the ultimate sample size sport gets bogged down to the ultimate randomization of the baseball playoffs. So it, to me, as a now somewhat removed observer, I can like just sit back with a glass of wine and sweat it and watch it and be a little bit of a meatball on it. But like the reality is that we'd all be better served to do it, because they got into the dance and now we see how it goes. Like that's the cold hard truth of it, is that now the randomization of baseball, it's almost like their fate is no longer in their hands.
We're talking to Danny Parkins. You know him well. He's over at Fox Sports 1 now on The Score. And I bring up Fox Sports 1 because you were a voice of reason.
That was the bear, by the way, from Big Noon Kickoff. Bear just walked in.
Oh, no way. I also see a football play drawn up behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. People are always coming through. Maybe Eric Mangini or Greg Jennings or Jeff Schwartz or Willie Colon. I don't know. There's always people walking around here. Sorry to name drop, but that was the bear.
No, I love that. That's great. And I know we talked to you about Robbie, your large adult child, but in some ways I think that you might be a son of Colin Cowherd when it comes to like takes and just, you know, the basis of talk radio hosting. And that's why I ask you, what was his, when he was discussing timing and whether or not Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson were a good fit and how it wasn't, I just was not there yet. I saw that you tempered that a little bit when you guys got to mix and crosstalk a little bit. What was your takeaway from what he had to say?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I when I saw the take, I pulled out my phone to yell at him via text message. And then I was like, or I could just do this on national TV, 400 radio stations. And so I just invited myself on the show to kind of spar it out with him. Listen, Colin is a passionate, wildly talented, occasionally prisoner of the moment reactionary. Like and it's brilliant. Like Colin will have a very strong take that Ben Johnson is not the right fit for Caleb Williams. And he will do a great Colin Cowherd analogy to sell you on it. And then if Caleb Williams throws for 4 touchdowns against the Cowboys, and then he backs it up with a game against the Raiders, he'll be like, well, it's going to work. I got new information. And
very convenient.
It's a very healthy way to live. Like I've never met anyone less bothered by being wrong. So he's the best. Like he's the best. And so, you know, I obviously disagree with him. I obviously thought it was premature. I said as much when I went on. And I don't think that Ben Johnson, who interviewed in Washington and Seattle, in LA, and was on the short list in all these other places, like, I don't think he took the Bears job to 2 games in, go to the kid from Shepherd. Like, I just don't believe it. I don't think that he's like, in one hand, I have 6'3", 227, rocket arm, best player in his class for the last 10 years, Heisman Trophy winner. And on the other hand, I have Tyson Bagent. I'm going to just bench the kid. Like, I don't think we're even anywhere near it. I think it's a Twitter creation of a story. And I think that Ben Johnson, I'm sure he's a little frustrated with Caleb from time to time, no doubt. I think he's been coaching him hard. And I think it's going to be a process, and progress isn't linear and all of those cliches. But like this idea that like Ben Johnson is fed up with Caleb Williams after 2 games, that just, I don't think that that's like based in any sort of facts.
Yeah, I was a bit taken aback with that one. I was like, the man knows how to craft a take, but
it was a great take.
I can't join him on the island.
Listen, Colin is arguably the best to ever do this. Like, his Mahomes take after Chiefs-Eagles, where it was like, how did he say it? He said, Patrick Mahomes is like the Apple store at the mall to the Chiefs offense. He's the only thing keeping the lights on. I was like, that is so good. Like, that is so great to talk about, like, the running backs and the receivers and the coaching and the defense not getting any turnovers. Like, he's like, it's the Apple store in the mall. It's the only thing keeping the lights on. I'm like, that is brilliant. Or when he talks about another one that I love that he says now is he says he's in the omelet business, not the egg business. His job isn't to make you interesting. His job is to talk about you once you've become interesting. Like, that is unbelievable. I love Colin Cowherd. He is so good at it. And so if the Bears were on like the wrong side of one of his takes, like, that's just the price of doing business. I got no problem with it.
Well, Danny Parkins, we appreciate you joining us. And I'll make sure to ask Robbie next time sooner if you're on Twitch or not.
No, that's not on you. That's not on you.
Oh, we know.
Oh, but Danny, I have this on file.
Robbie Triano, you're excellent. You're going to be a star.
So I have that in the system. So I just want to let you know.
That's a good comeback right there. That's a good clap back right there.
I could give you other drops.
All right, thanks for coming on, Danny. You're great.
Buy a nicer shirt.
Oh, no.
Act like it's a place of business.
Love you.
Be an adult.
See, that's the parent. that's the parenting I'm here for. Danny, thanks for joining us. Coming up next, Mark Grody from Hallis Hall, and he tells us that Dennis Allen talked today, so we got to listen next. Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Bears.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll go next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What? Host of the Take the North podcast.
Mark Grody. Mark Grody, WBBN.
You're kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grody.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
You ain't my beer.
Okay.
Yes, the million voices of one Mark Grody.
They he's all crazy. Join. He's crazy.
He is. He's a crazy man. He's a wild man. And he is wild for us. He does it for us. He goes to Hallis Hall every week, and that's where he is right now on 670 The Score. Joining us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Your face.
It's Mark Grody, man. What you want me to say?
You're laughing.
It's Grody.
You're laughing at my intro.
Grody, what's going on at Hallis Hall? How are you doing, sir?
I am right now, just to let you guys know where I am. I am on the basement floor of Hallis Hall, the main atrium area. I don't know if you guys have been out here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys have actually both been out here. Of course you have.
It's pretty.
It's very decorative.
It is very decorative. I see Brian Urlacher on the wall. I see a Devin Hester jersey, the white 23, the all whites. Yeah. And I'm actually in because there's so many people doing broadcasts right now because we all just watched practice. So everybody now goes to their broadcast assignments and various podcasts. So I have did not get one of the good spots today. So I am in a coat closet at Hallis Hall.
And that's hilarious.
I'm seeing a bucket right now, Marshall, that says literally it says da sunscreen. So there's sunscreen and a bucket in front of me. There are coat hangers. There's a bag of umbrellas, of Bears umbrellas. So,
you needed sunscreen today.
Hold on,
that's true. Well, actually,
hold on. Is that closet, like, if you are walking into House Hall and there's a staircase?
Yes.
Is it off to the right and the back?
To the left, in the back.
Okay. I think I did a podcast there one time.
Yeah. It's a.
I think JJ Stakovitz and I did a podcast there.
No, I mean, as long as the Wi-Fi works, this is a good place because it's closed off. That you won't hear an echo. Like, if I was in the main atrium area, did you hear the coat hangers just now?
Yes.
That if I was in the main
ASMR
atrium
with Mark Grody, TTN.
Interestingly enough, you bring up Marshall, the heat out here, and it is humid. The Bears actually practicing indoors as we speak.
I don't like that.
Inside of the Walter Payton Center, I did ask one Bears exec, like, what, just out of curiosity, not trying to stir things up. You know, people think I'm always trying to stir things up. I was just like, what, why are they practicing indoors? And it was just no answer given right now. My only guess would be is that they did go hard in the heat yesterday. A lot of players commented on it, not complaining about it, but, you know, this league and other leagues are much more careful when it comes to hydration and all of those types of things. That's my only guess. I have no idea. Maybe they just wanted a more controlled practice, but they did practice, so they are practicing indoors inside the Walter Payton Center as we speak.
Oh, yeah. What do the coordinators have to say this week? Specifically one Dennis Allen, who didn't want to talk about the previous game last week. Do you do it this week?
Yeah, he kind of didn't want to talk about it either. I think but I mean, he's not being a jerk about it, and his tone is not condescending or anything like that. But I'm going to play a decent chunk here for you, and then certainly will love to hear your guys' reaction to it. But yeah, you're right. The Bears gave up 52 points last week. Don't really have to remind people of this, but they got there with 511 total yards to Detroit, 334 in the air, 177 on the ground. Here's Dennis Allen, the Bears defensive coordinator.
How do you get the defense, I guess, not confident, but just prepared coming off of such of a big loss and letdown in that Detroit game?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think if you're in this league long enough, you've been in one of those type of games. And so you make the corrections that you need to make, and you come back in and you go to work. And that's what you do. I mean, you get right back up on the horse and, you know, let's go ride again. And so that's what our guys are doing. I think, you know, obviously, we've only had one practice this week, but I thought we had a good practice yesterday. Looking forward to getting out there, you know, working on third down this afternoon. So, that's what you do. This is a prideful group. You know, they'll respond.
Dennis, did you see consistent issues in the secondary Sunday that were causing some of the
the
open receivers?
You know, again, I know everybody wants to, you know, rehash what happened last week, and really we've moved on. I'll just say this. Look, when you don't perform well and you lose a game like that, there's a lot of issues that went on, you know, and so there's a lot of dirty hands in that. We all accept responsibility, coaches, players alike, and we're focused on, you know, trying to make the corrections and get ready for Dallas. You know, I think you know, hopefully we'll go out and do that this weekend.
Dennis, putting away last week's game, as you obviously want to do. Was that an aberration? Was it a fluke? Like, is it that simple to move past?
Well, look, I would never say anything simple to move past. Okay, you got to look at you know, issues that you have to correct, both from a coaching standpoint and a playing standpoint. You know, you address them, try to come back and be better from them, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay, this is kind of ridiculous, Mark, because first of all, three teams in the last calendar year have let the Lions score 52 points. They did it twice last season. Their first one was on October 27th last season. So that's not necessarily true. And then the other part of this that bothers me is, yeah, you can tell us that you're moving forward, and I get that on Thursday you're probably doing that, except the last time you told us you were moving forward, you allowed 52 points.
Yeah, and like there was just so much from that game last week. I mean, I would make the argument that he, like, in terms of us collectively as a media, he got off easy because, like, we could, you know, he obviously was part of why I think we moved on, and I'm not going to speak for everybody else, is that we were just going to get generalizations. When Jason, as you heard Leisure, asked the question about the secondary, he immediately generalized and went into the we got to get past it, and I took, you know, one last shot at it, but it was clear that we were going to be wasting our time if we were to ask too much further than that in terms of specifics on, you know, how they are going to go about their business going forward. But yeah, look, and he's right. He's been around long enough to have seen some really horrible things happen to his defenses and to defenses in general. But it's a huge blinking red light when you give up 50 points. I don't care who it is that you're giving it up to.
Well, and to be fair, the book on the Lions is pretty straightforward. Like, it's not like this is a secret that they can do this. But the other part of this is we don't necessarily know what his defense looks like yet. Yeah, was it the first half of the Vikings game? I know you don't have the entire personnel that you want to be able to do the things you want to do. But tell us about what you like. You know, tell us about what you want to do. Like, Russell Wilson throws for 450 yards last week, and you, what can you tell us about our secondary?
Right, and he was asked about Jalen Johnson and, you know, how they are going to be able to proceed moving forward with a lack of Jalen Johnson. And the answer to that was kind of, we have been dealing, you know, and he's right, they have been dealing with life without Jalen Johnson since the beginning of the offseason program. So they have been looking for alternates. Have those alternates worked out very well? No. They have not. Did Tyreek Stevenson, obviously did not play well the other day. Nashon Wright, who started off with a bang in the offseason program and in training camp, you know, has been exposed to some degree. So it's an issue. It's a problem. And, you know, we'll get another injury report today. We'll see if anybody is better. And there's nothing I could really share with you at this moment from what I saw inside the Walter Payton Center.
Now, I know there's news also on special teams because Richard Hightower is at the podium as well.
Yeah, Richard was, he was in today. Not a lot of fun with Mr. Hightower today. As, you know, if you've listened to my Bears hits in the past couple of years, a lot of times, Richard, it's a kicker. It's like fun with Richard Hightower. But when things get real, things get real. And one of the real things that has happened with the Chicago Bears is that they have, as you guys know, recently signed kicker Jake Moody to the Bears practice squad. He had been with San Francisco for 3 years, and here is Richard Hightower answering questions about why he is here.
Good player. Good player with talent. Good player with good talent.
What are you interested in seeing now that he's here and he's working on your practice squad?
Yeah, I mean, I think our personnel department does a really good job of combing the whole entire league, and that's what they do. I mean, he's a young developmental player that we're excited to work with that's on our practice squad at the moment.
Is that a situation where you're able to, like, get any kind of background from people you know out there, or does that fall into they wouldn't give you any kind of help in a competitive situation like this?
Yeah, I mean, we play those guys later this year, so I don't think so. But, yeah, but I understand where you're coming from. But he's a young developmental player that's on our practice squad, and that's what it is right now. Nothing more.
And why is he here? Does he just have depth at the position?
Because our personnel department does a great job of combing the entire league, and anybody we think that has a chance to play for us at some point one day, whether it's a wide receiver, a DB, a running back, there's so many different people on the practice squad. So we're going to try to develop them all. All right, and try to help him all get better.
Do you see him as challenging Kyler Santos?
I think Coach already addressed that. So Coach already spoke to that.
Okay, so I'm listening to this, and I just don't understand, and I don't necessarily agree with the assessment that they do a great job with combing and finding the best players, although I guess it's all relative. If you don't have very good players on your roster, the depth goes then to your practice squad, and if yeah, you get it, Mark.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. Signing Jake Moody to the practice squad, that's a really good move by the Bears. that's covering your ass. Like, they had some issues with Cairo Santos in the Minnesota game. They know it. Some of these issues popped up last year as well. And Cairo Santos has been a really good stabilizing kicker for this franchise and has done some really good things. But there are some deficiencies which were recognized. So you place somebody, you have somebody in waiting, somebody in development, in case these problems arise again. And I think part of it, for, you know, knowing Richard Hightower a little bit, of all the coordinators that, you know, I have dealt with in my time covering the Bears, you know, Richard Hightower is about as loyal as they get. Now, this is a guy who could not say enough good things about Matt Eberflus, and, you know, obviously you're going to say nice things about your bosses, but he is heavy duty loyal to his starters on special teams. Moreover, he is heavy duty loyal to Cairo Santos. So that's why I think he was being defensive, is that he didn't want to in any way, shape, or form denigrate or downgrade Cairo Santos in any way. But I think it's obvious to everybody, including, you know, the Bears front office, that you just in case, let's make sure we have somebody else in the building who could potentially do the job if Cairo Santos can't. And Santos will get every opportunity going forward. We're not going to see Jake Moody elevated to the real roster this week or anything like that, unless there's a real surprise party here. But you got to cover yourself, and that's what the Bears have done here.
They have like 2.5 available dudes in the secondary and are spinning a roster spot on a position where somebody's extended for another 2 years past this season.
Mm.
What?
Grody, you there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to
I understand that. Sorry, that's their thought process. But again, I ask, how are these resources being allocated in a way that makes sense?
Well, I don't know. I guess, like, Layla, I will counter with how pissed off were we all? I mean, I think you and we all took that same tone with Cairo Santos. How mad and fired up did we get about that? So don't you, Layla, have to do something to cover yourselves with that? Like, what if Cairo Santos misses a 45-yard field goal this week? What if he can't kick it through the end zone again? Then we're going to get pissed off at the Bears again because they don't have another kicker in the building.
They're spending a lot of capital on dudes who just kick the ball. Mark Grody, thank you for your time. We will release you from your closet.
Mark. Mark.
Yes.
I can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It's all three of us tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and you're missing the 25-year anniversary party for Rich Wyatt today. There was Portillo's and everything.
I have a Portillo's chocolate cake piece for you.
Oh, man, shout out to Rich Wyatt, one of the great engineers. He's the greatest engineer of all time. who has... Unlock me. And Rich actually worked very closely when I was doing the Bears broadcast sideline work for WBBM. The guy did a great job for WBBM and had to put up with a lot. So, yeah, shout out to Rich White. 25 years. Wow. I didn't realize he was that old. He looks so young.
I didn't either. So
maybe he started when he was 16. I don't know.
I think he did. Thank you, Mark Grody. Have fun with the rest of your day. See you tomorrow.
Bye, Mark.
Bye, Marshall. Bye, guys. Bye.
Coming up next, if you missed the radio broadcast of the Cubs clinching the playoffs yesterday, bless you, Marshall, then you might have missed the interaction with Fun With What Was Caught on the Field microphone. So we'll do that next with Pat and Ron on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Everybody in the clubhouse was getting tipsy yesterday. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. Cubs clinched the playoffs, and it was a good time post-game. But then people were also having a good time in the crowd in Pittsburgh during the game. Let's go back and listen to Pat, Ron, and Zach.
Park, Joe, let's do it. You're the best.
Please stay tuned. We will have an extended post-game show.
There's somebody down behind there by our... Might be... Mel Check gave somebody a microphone down there, and sounds like he's been celebrating a little earlier than the Cubs have.
How can you tell, Ron?
It's just a lucky guess.
Two balls and a strike. Here's the pitch fouled away, 2-2.
He got a head start, I think, in inning number one.
So he's ready for a large evening, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, no, he's there. Yeah, he's there. Yeah, attaboy. Up now.
2-2 pitch taken high for a ball, 3-2.
Mel, you need to get your microphones a little more strategic.
What's that? I couldn't make out those last few words you said there.
And Mel, he needs to get the microphones and field mics a little more strategic.
Here comes the 2-2. Was there something said that I missed? I was just locked into this play-by-play. The way that goes.
I totally understand, and that's why you're in the Hall of Fame.
Plus, I was looking for a Yorkie. 3-2 on Matt Shaw.
I like a good parabolic mic on the sidelines or on the field or on the court.
Joe, let's do it. You're the best.
That was hilarious. I'm listening to the game yesterday and I'm going, wait, how can they hear this guy so well? But when there's a special mix of nice sunny day when the air is clear like that and there's nobody, well, there are people in the ballpark, but it wasn't exactly a crowded ballpark.
It wasn't packed.
Day game type of stuff.
Right.
Then that's kind of what you experience.
You're the best.
Difference between a day game.
He's just so positive.
No one's going to ever keep you down.
You're the best.
Around.
No one's going to ever keep you down.
Yeah, that's the vibe.
Somebody had to do it.
Look, day games at Wrigley are very different from day games at other ballparks around the country in the middle of the week.
I will say, though, PNC day game does seem to have a vibe, because if you watch the crowd at the day games, like I remember this one dude who was probably in his late 50s, early 60s, I want to say more so 60, just chilling with his shirt off in the expensive seats. Not the bleachers and not the outfield in Pittsburgh. Not chilling in one of the places where you might expect it. But you know those expensive seats, they have those nice padded like blue chairs over there behind home plate. One of those.
Trust, as a former sideline reporter covering the Pittsburgh Pirates, I have witnessed it all.
Like I was, the contrast was there for me. I was like, This is quite the vibe you're putting out here.
But listen, Pittsburgh is a place. I'll leave it there.
Yes, it is.
It is a place on the map.
It was a great broadcast yesterday. It was really cool also to hear the final out. You can hear it in some of the promos here. It's just nice to also talk about a final out by Pat Hughes being memorable that isn't, say, something from 2016.
Listen, we got new hits to play.
I know.
The band got back together.
It's very exciting.
It's like that new album you've been waiting for. Talking to you, Lauryn Hill.
Clips.
I'm just glad the stuff is good.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that was pretty funny. We had to share it. And then they also referred to the Yorkie. That was a running gag during the entire show. So if you know what that's about, then you can have a good laugh too.
Yeah, I didn't know about the Yorkie. Until the end.
Coming up next, it is Lawrence Holmes. And is Spiegel here today? Yes? No? All right. Matt Spiegel is back. Spiegel and Holmes are next. We'll transition with them on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.